Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is proudly sponsored by Trupanion. Trupanion provides medical insurance for pets, including their breeder support program. This allows you to send your litters home with special offers to try out the insurance. Click the link on my partner page to get started. That way, you can protect your puppies in their new home today. Trupanion also provides informational materials for your puppy kits, all at no cost to you. Sign up on the partner page today and mention Pure Dog Talk sent you. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I have a very special guest today. We're here in Albany, Oregon at the Chintimony Kennel Club Dog Show, and I ran across Richard Lopeschuk showing his own dog, which, okay, just in case anybody remembers, dog show judges are people too, and some of them still show their own dogs. And so Mr. Lopeschuk is here from BC, from British Columbia, showing his papillons at the dog show, and agreed to sit and talk to me. He is an all-breeds judge in Canada and in the United States, yeah?
Yes.
Excellent. And so, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And give us the 411. How'd you get started on this crazy path?
Nancy? It started 54 years ago, just after we were married. We had to have a dog.
Yes.
And it happened to be a German Shepherd dog.
Yes.
So we started with a young bitch puppy that we bought, and she was actually from German bloodlines, bred in North America, but from German bloodlines, and I can give you an interesting story about that as well. And we bred shepherds for almost 25 years.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Many litters, had great success with quite a few different dogs. And with shepherds, my interests primarily started not in confirmation, but in obedience.
You know, that is a fascinating thing. I've said this before. How many great dog people that you can just reel off the top of your head that started in obedience?
Performance, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did quite a bit of performance and went to a sanction match with another dog that we had bought. Mm-hmm. And this is part of the interesting story. We were going to breed this bitch, and a breeder that was living near us at the time had a stud dog that was very promising and of good quality. So we went to him. I dropped the bitch off, and when I was bringing the dog back home with me, he said to me, rather than a stud fee, pay me $100 and you can take the dog home.
Oh my gosh.
We have a conflict of interest, this dog and I, and we just don't get along together. So
oh my gosh.
I brought the dog home. Nancy hadn't even seen or heard about this yet, and walked in with this male shepherd.
Hey, look, honey.
Yeah. And we were in Prince George at the time, and we joined Northern Interior Kennel Club, which is not there anymore, unfortunately. And one of our members of the club, his father used to breed shepherds and bulldogs in England, and saw this animal. He said, we're having a sanction match in a couple of weeks. This dog looks very promising, and if you want to learn something about a dog show, you come to the sanction match.
Yeah.
So we showed in the sanction match, took best in match with
this
dog.
See, there you go.
We were hooked.
I am telling you this story, it's like every single person, I got a ribbon and here I am today, 54 years later.
We did eventually get a title on the shepherds. Most of our showing and exhibiting was either in the Okanagan or in Alberta.
Oh, okay.
Edmonton, Calgary area.
Okay.
And it was quite a drive, or at the coast. There were quite a few shows at the coast that we used to go to as well. And we had great success with our dogs. Then we needed something different. So we got a smaller dog, miniature schnauzers. And we had those for about 13, 14 years. Bred several litters, had some very good quality dogs, had some great wins with a male that we had. And the kids were growing up.
Right.
And we needed something else for them to deal with in the ring, because they were both in junior handling at the time.
Okay.
Our son, not so much as our daughter. And she fell in love. I don't know if you know Stella Newby. She was a great mentor of ours in terriers, and she had Boyer Fox Terriers and Cairn Terriers.
And see, that's I'm waiting for the Cairns, because that's what when I think of you, I think of Cairn Terriers.
Yeah, Cairn Terriers. Stella had let Laura handle a Cairn Terrier in junior handling, and she fell in love with this breed, and so did we. They were wonderful dogs. Mm-hmm. So we acquired our first Cairn Terrier from a lady, a breeder in, I want to say the Bay Area down here.
Okay.
Or it might have been in L.A. somewhere. Anyway, she had a female of Stella's. Stella was supposed to get a puppy back in return, and she was having a litter. So Stella said, you can have one of those pups.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there was only one pup in the litter.
Oh.
And Laura at the time was only about 8 or 9 years old.
Right.
And when she heard this, she was very sad about the situation.
Weeping and
she may not
teeth.
Get this puppy. But anyway, Stella got the puppy and gave it to Laura. Or we bought it for Laura. And this puppy was absolutely stunning.
Okay.
We put her on with Bill
McFadden?
McFadden.
Yeah.
He was still going to college in the Northwest at the time. And she quickly finished her American Championship, and she took majors at Northwest Terrier Club, the one in California, Great Western.
Great Western.
And we also had a male that we had as well, a Wheaton male, and he was with her at the time Bill took them down together, and both of them were winning throughout that weekend down there. And we had Cairn Terriers up until about 3 years ago.
Right, that's when I say, when I think of you, when I think of, in my mind, you're a Cairn Terrier guy, and I saw you here with Papillons, and I'm like, and then Nancy said, oh, it's only been 17 years. I'm like, oh, man, my mind.
That evolved about mid-80s. We were handling and showing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lady friend of ours in Castlegar, because we started the West Kootenai Kennel Club when we moved there from Prince George.
Oh, interesting.
And so this lady had a dog that she'd brought in from Sweden and wanted it to be shown. So we showed this Papillon for several months and quite enjoyed the breed and fell in love with it. And
they're
we said,
sweet,
when we retire, this is where we want to go.
Okay.
And 17 years ago now, we got our first Papillon.
Right.
From very good friends of ours that were in Calgary.
Okay.
And Nancy had finished all the Cairns off and needed something to show. So Kim gave Nancy this dog to, he was a puppy, to finish his championship. Mm-hmm. And of course, Barney never left our home.
Yeah.
Not even a year later, we decided we needed another one. We were going to get a female.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a pick of two litters from Kim, and she said, there's the litters, pick whichever one you like. So we picked Gemma, and they both finished easily in Canada and the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Barney became a sire of merit with the Papillon Club of America.
Nice.
Bred very, very wonderful. You got several best in shows with him as well.
Right.
So it just evolved from that. We still had shepherds at the time. And Cairn Terriers.
Oh my gosh, that's
and
quite a...
then they sort of all fizzled out, and we're still with our retirement breed.
I like it. So as an all-breed judge, I mean, clearly you have background in a variety of groups, and you've seen all of this. You've shown
pointers,
dogs.
Too.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Like, wait, what?
A pointer.
Well, you know, it's pointers. So, but I think that it's important for people to understand that you have that variety. Right?
Yeah,
like
yes.
We come to this with a variety, and this is the background, and this is the particular variety. So when you are judging, when you're in the ring and you're judging, what are you looking at in your breeds? What strikes you first? All of that sort of thing.
My philosophy is form and function primarily. And toy breeds have a form and they have a specific function. But with most of the other breeds, doesn't matter whether they're big or small, terriers or working or herding dogs, sporting dogs, hounds, they all have a specific function.
Right.
And if their form doesn't match what they're supposed to do, either in the field or as a
companion
dog, then that's how I assess what I have in the ring, primarily.
Right. They have to be able to do the job, whatever that job was.
That's the way I look at it.
Excellent.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
Hey, listeners, give me a minute. Join me. We're going to visit with Cheryl Kreitzer from showdogswithaz.org. And she has some great information for you about this new resource that's available to the worldwide purebred dog community.
Thank you for having me, Laura. Well, one of the things that I wanted to touch on is that AKC has their AKC.org. UKC has their UKC site. All of the kennel clubs have these great resources for people in our community to go and look at. One of the things I wanted to do was bring all of the kennel clubs, all of the community, into an experience where they can all get together. The website that I've built is across all of that, and it translates instantly with a click of a button at the top of it.
So I can learn about the Japanese Kennel Club and members in Japan who have a Shiba that I want to buy, right?
Yes, you can. And you can even visit our instant chat and talk to them instantaneously because it will translate as you talk. Or you can visit the forum and you can translate that as well.
Amazing. I love it. All right, listeners, check out showdogswithaz.org. So when you're evaluating breeding stock in the ring, I mean, you've certainly bred dogs. Is there any piece that you're looking for? Are you looking to, you know, find the thing that the breed needs? I mean, that's
we always try to improve right? any problems
right?
in structure or physical conditions of,
right.
of an animal so that right. whatever they are, in Papillons in particular, mm-hmm. we started with Shepherds.
Right.
They were all OFA certified
right.
at 2 years old so that they were of breeding quality. They never got bred before they were
right.
certified.
Right.
If they weren't certifiable, then we didn't breed them.
Mm-hmm.
Cairn Terriers had some specific problems as well. We made sure that we had all of those issues dealt with before we did any breeding
right.
to continue the quality that's supposed to be in a breeding program.
Right.
With miniature schnauzers, we had juvenile eye cataracts,
right.
which sort of put us off with the breed,
mm.
as well as the grooming. So that's why we only had them for a short period of
right.
time, only 13, 14 years.
Right.
And when we ended up with that, at the time, this is back in the 70s, it
mm-hmm.
was difficult to get any markers for those problems
right.
to be able to know what you were dealing with the breed.
And it's amazing to me how much more
it's
we know.
It's changed a lot.
Right.
Even in Papillons in the last 16 mm-hmm. years now, we have markers just mm-hmm. about for any of the problems that we have.
So what do you see in Papillons? I'm not familiar with what they pop up with disease-wise in terms of what kind of genetic issues are
genetic
you doing?
Issues yeah. primarily is DAD, the neurological disease.
Okay.
Juvenile, PRA.
PRA.
One, there is a marker for, and the first dog that we had, we sent him to Detroit, where the clinic there at the University of Michigan
right.
was trying to find the marker,
that marker.
For
oh,
PRA.
Wow.
And she's shaking her head.
It's okay, Nancy, you can join us too. Nancy Lopeshuk.
Yes, well, he went to Michigan State University and he was instrumental when they, Dr. Simon Peterson Jones, found the marker for PRA1 in Papillons.
Okay.
There's
okay.
a PRA2, but they have not found the marker they're working
on. They're working on it
okay.
right now.
Okay, wonderful. So very involved in
yeah.
that aspect of it as well.
And NAD, all of them are tested for NAD as well,
mm-hmm.
the neurological disease. We're getting a lot of heart issues popping up, but most of it is old age.
Mm.
The three that we recently have lost all passed away with heart issues, but they were all older dogs. Yes.
Interesting. And so I really think Papillons are a fun breed. You know, they're small, they're relatively sturdy, not like super sturdy, but relatively active. They're cute, they're low maintenance. I don't know, I just like Papillons.
They're a tough toy breed.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
For their size
mm-hmm.
and stature, they're mm-hmm. a very tough breed. and probably another reason why we got Papillons rather than a Chihuahua or something. Right. They have a very high intelligent level.
Yes.
Easy to train.
Mm-hmm. Nancy was talking about she was doing obedience with one. I think that's
this
great.
This dog is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And didn't take all that much to train him either. I mean, he should be in the trick section at Orlando.
He can get a trick title on him. It'll
trick
be great.
Dog, yeah.
Performer. There's a performer dog.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
We've got performance titles mm-hmm. on three or four of the dogs now.
Good.
Everything in our possession right now are all pretty much Canadian-American champions.
Well, you told me
and
you just finished one today.
We finished one today, yeah.
So what do you think when people are just getting started, right? So new people coming up today. And, you know, you've been doing this a long time. And I think a lot of times we make up things that don't exist or we exaggerate or that were the same as, you know, 50 years ago as they are today.
Yeah.
But there are some new and different things that we run into. What is your encouragement? What is your suggestion to people that are getting started?
If you want to get into the show dog scene mm-hmm. and participate, I would suggest sit around the ring from 8 o'clock in the morning till best in show and observe as many breeds as you possibly can. And if you got a specific breed that you're interested in, watch them, not only on the first day, but if it's a 3 or 4 days of judging mm-hmm. every day for those 3 or 4 days, and get a perspective of what you're looking at and whether or not you're going to be compatible with that breed.
Right.
It's a big thing. And if you're going to learn about any of the breeds, you definitely have to go to the dog show and sit there from 8 o'clock in the morning until best in show and learn something about what is happening. And this is the difficulty with a lot of people today and a lot of breeders today. When their breed is finished, they go home and they have no idea about the perspective of other dogs that are in the ring and what they should be looking at if a judge is putting up one breed specific to another.
Right. And I think
especially at the group level.
Yes. And I think you make a really good point, too. It's not just the drive-by dog show, right? Like, I went reserve winner's dog. I didn't even stay through the breed right? That is a struggle. But I think your point is really well taken. People don't watch an individual judge more than their own breed. They just say, oh, he's terrible because he beat my dog, and so he's worthless, instead of watching this individual judge a whole bunch of different breeds to get a perspective. Maybe this judge is a real headhunter, and your dog is sound, but he's got kind of a plain head, right?
That's right.
I mean, whatever it might be, if you watch, you get the opportunity to see that judge interact with a lot of different breeds.
And a lot of novice handlers that walk into the ring with me, they have excellent dogs. Mm-hmm. And I don't even look at the handler. I'm looking at the dog. I don't care how it's even handled. I've put up dogs, and some of them are younger dogs mm-hmm. that need to be trained better, but are still better than some of the adult dogs that are being shown in the ring. And I won't not put them up just because if their confirmation is better than the other dog.
And that's good, but you know that that's not always the case.
No, it isn't always the case. And people complain, handlers mm-hmm. are going up. They have to understand and realize maybe the handler that's on that dog not only is doing a better job of showing it, but that dog is of better quality as well, because that's their bread and butter.
We don't show dogs that are not of quality. Or at least we shouldn't.
We shouldn't be.
We can go down that rabbit hole at some point.
Well, that's a whole different...
that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Yeah.
professional handlers should not be showing dogs that are not of quality.
That's right.
Yes, and we speak to retired handlers.
I would say
here.
99% of the time, the dogs that they have in the ring and presenting to you are probably a better quality than some of the other dogs, but that's not always the case.
Not always.
Because there are a lot of owner handlers there that have excellent specimens, and they'll get put up.
Yep, absolutely. And I think another piece, we were talking about this earlier, that I think is important for us to remember. So here's this piece, the drive-by dog show, and, you know, not putting the time and resources. So what is it that we can do, those of us that have been at this for a while? What's on us?
I think what we have to do, especially as clubs, mm-hmm. and we belong to several different clubs, mm-hmm. breed clubs, mm-hmm. as well as the Canadian Kennel Club,
right.
in both Canada and the U.S., is to educate anybody that's interested in owning a dog mm-hmm. to buy the right dog
yes.
and what they have to do to do whatever they want to do with it. If it's just a pet, mm-hmm. fine, but they still have to have some responsibility over that animal and be able to take care of it properly.
Train it, vet it, all of that
That's
stuff.
Right.
Right.
And we try to do that as breeders. Mm-hmm. Because all of our dogs aren't show dogs.
They can't be.
No, if they were, it would be a miracle breeding
yeah,
type
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly.
And so what we try to emphasize is, what do you want to do with the dog when we're putting them out there for
right.
sale, and if we don't keep them ourselves? And by doing that, we know what they want to do with mm-hmm. it, and then we'll educate them to
right.
do the right things with it.
And match the right personality of the right
exactly.
puppy, because even in the same litter you have one that's super
yeah.
bold and one that's super reluctant, and
yes.
you know, you have to match those. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely. Okay, well, I thank you very, very much for your time. It was great to get to see you. I never get to see you anymore. And good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Two Cities Kennel Club and the surrounding community were dramatically impacted by the devastating campfire last fall. The club will hold a two-day raffle at its show to raise funds for a new Yuba County AKC Reunite disaster trailer. Each AKC Pet Disaster Relief trailer is stocked with essential, non-perishable supplies needed to set up and provide safe sheltering options for pets during an evacuation. The tragedy of last year's fires reinforced the need for a trailer in Northern California. To donate items to the raffle, or to donate directly to this critically important disaster relief trailer, go to the events section of the Pure Dog Talk Facebook page for contact information. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.